This probably be the gospel, right around all over.
What you put about the paper, brother? I'm not a big boy.
Okay, take your Bibles and turn to Psalm chapter 52. Psalm chapter 52. I stood in the courtroom. Judge, turn my way. Looks like you're guilty. What do you say? I spoke of your honor. I have no defense. But that's when mercy walked in. Mercy walked in. Pleaded my case. He called to the stand. God's saving grace. The blood was presented to cover my sin. Forgiven when mercy walked in. I stood there in wonder. How could this be? That someone so guilty could ever be free. My chains were broken. I'd been born again. The moment that mercy walked in, mercy walked in and pleaded my case. He called to the stand. God's saving grace. The blood was presented to cover my sin. Forgiven when mercy walked in. I was forgiven when mercy walked in.
Amen.
Well, it's good to be saved. Amen.
Amen.
This is a very unusual text that we're preaching from today, but it's a Bible text. And I'm going to be preaching with the help of the Lord about an individual called Doeg. Doeg. Some of you young people may not even know who that is, but we'll show you from the Bible what we're talking about. Psalm 52 is dealing with Doeg and his deceitfulness and mischievousness that he used against King David, which was going to soon be king. And God already in his providence had proclaimed him that he was going to be king, and he used his tongue against him. So this is a very unusual message to preach in a family camp, but it's a Bible message. Brother Harvey had been mentioned, and I, for the most part, I've had good liberty to preach this week. Maybe one day, amen, it seemed like I was kind of swimming through glue. But, you know, preachers sometimes are hard on the congregation. I look on my own doorstep first and say, you know, I didn't pray enough. I didn't spend enough time meditating. And so I just take that as my own fault. And so I've had good liberty to preach, but yet it doesn't seem like there has been much of a response. One way or another, seems like there is indifference. But you know what you do? You step up to the plate and you preach the word again.
Yes, amen.
Yeah. You know, I can imagine being in some spots on a mission field or in a pastorate, amen, where you go to some churches and week after week, you know, you ain't got nowhere else to go. There ain't another meeting, amen, to go to. Week after week, sometimes you're dealing with people that have hardened hearts, stiff neck, and you just preach the word of God to them, amen, and ask the Lord to break through on that stony heart, amen. Psalm 52, notice what the Bible says. You can remain seated. Why boastest thou thyself in mischief, O mighty man? The goodness of God endureth continually. Thy tongue deviseth mischiefs like a sharp razor working deceitfully. Thou lovest evil more than good, and lying rather than to speak righteousness. Selah. Well, to meditate about that. That's what it means. Stop, meditate about that. Thou lovest all devouring words, O thou deceitful tongue. God shall likewise destroy thee forever. He shall take thee away and pluck thee out of thy dwelling place and root thee out of the land of the living. Selah. The righteous also shall see and fear and shall laugh at him. Lo, this is the man that made not God his strength, and trusteth in the abundance of his riches, and strengtheneth himself in his wickedness. But I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. I will praise thee forever because thou hast done it, and will wait on thy name, for it is good before thy saints. Father, it's an awesome task to preach the word of God, and sometimes, Lord, I puzzle and muse about what you've laid upon our hearts to preach. And Lord, during a family camp, and Lord, a lot of young people here, it's kind of different that, Lord, you would lay this upon our hearts. But Lord, I pray that, Lord, you would get glory and honor through the preached word of God today, and you know exactly what is needed. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us, and we'll thank you and praise you for it. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. The passage is dealing with a man called Doeg. For some of the passage of scripture that we read in your hearing, amen, it is dealing with what is called an imprecatory psalm. In other words, God is using the psalmist David to literally ask the Lord to bring judgment upon his enemies. Not all the psalms, even though we know them and we sing them as songs, some of them, amen, God used the psalmist by inspiration of God, and he asked, some of them, the psalmist David asked God to kill his enemies. Okay, so much for Christian love. But that's under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And Doeg was used by the devil, amen, to aggravate David. Let's look at some passages of scripture, amen. Maybe we'll get, I can't give you a long synopsis on this, but let's go over to the book of 1 Samuel and see about this man called Doeg and how he used his tongue against David, amen. David's on the run. David, amen, is on the run from his own father-in-law, amen. His own father-in-law is trying to kill David, and he's jealous. He knows that the hand of God has been removed, as it were, amen, off of Saul, his father-in-law, and been put upon David, and yet David won't put his hand against his own father-in-law, amen. And so he's on the run. Saul's trying to kill David, and here in this passage of scripture, we find what the word of God, 1 Samuel chapter 21 and verse number 7. The Bible says, now a certain man of the servants of Saul was there that day. This is a place where David fled to, detained before the Lord, and his name was Doeg, an Edomite, the chiefest of the herdsmen belonging to Saul. We're trying to give you some background of who this man called Doeg was. 1 Samuel chapter 22, verses 9 and 10. Hang with me, and we'll explain to you from the scriptures a little about this man called Doeg. The Bible says in 1 Samuel 22, verses 9 and 10, The Bible says when Saul questioned Doeg the Edomite, it says, "Then answered Doeg the Edomite, which was set over the servants of Saul, and said, I saw the son of Jesse coming to Nob to Ahimelech, the son of Ahitub. And he inquired of the Lord for him, and gave him victuals, and gave him the sword of Goliath the Philistine." For sake of time, go down to verse number 17 of chapter 22, and we'll read some scripture here. Chapter 17, "And the king said unto the footman that stood about him, Turn and slay the priest of the Lord. He said, because these priests of the Lord have helped David, he told his footman, turn and slay the priest of the Lord, because their hand also is with David, and because they knew when he fled and did not show it to me. But the servants of the king would not put forth their hand to fall upon the priest of the Lord." They knew there was a judgment against them for killing the priest of the Lord. And the king said to Doeg, I mean, here's a real Christian here, "Turn now and fall upon the priest." And Doeg the Edomite turned, and he fell upon the priest, and slew on that day 85 persons that did wear a linen ephod. I believe that's 85 people. And Nob, the city of the priest, smote him with the edge of the sword, both men and women, children and sucklings, and oxen and asses, and sheep with the edge of the sword. Are you listening to me today? I'm going to tell you what a lot of sins cannot accomplish in our churches. The Bible says the tongue is a little member. I submit to you it's the most dangerous member in our church. I told my pastor, Brother Rischel, years ago, I called Pastor Hawkins. He's went on and to heaven now. Good man of God. Was my pastor for several years. I said, "Pastor, I'm going to expose this morning on live radio, I'm going to expose the most dangerous member in our church." I said, "The tongue is a little member." Yeah. And every church has problem with the mischievous tongue. That's what I'm preaching on today, the mischievous tongue. The Bible says in verse number 20 of 1 Samuel 22, the Bible says, "In the sons of Ahimelech, the son of Ahitub, called named Abathar, escaped and fled after David. And Abathar showed David that Saul had slain the Lord's priests. And David said unto Abathar, I knew in that day when Doeg the Edomite was there that he would surely tell Saul, I have occasioned the death of all the persons of thy father's house." Doeg was a man that used his tongue and raised his tongue against the man of God, David. And it resulted in the death of a whole city. And as far as I can calculate, I believe it's 85 persons that Doeg wiped out. Doeg is an Edomite, amen. He is an enemy of God's people. In fact, the Edomites were constantly enemies against God's people. If you know anything about their lineage, they're of the house of Esau. And Jacob and Esau has always been an enemy against the work of God. They tell me from my study, amen, that even King Herod was an Edomite in his lineage. And he sought to even murder and kill the Lord Jesus. And many two-year-olds and under in that day, many women wept in sorrow as Herod went to purge and tried to kill the Lord Jesus. Of course, he was influenced by the devil. But what about the influence of the mischievous tongue? How many people has it killed?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Now this is a sin that everybody in here can be guilty of. And is at one time. Preachers behind the pulpit have been guilty many times. Of slaying people with their tongue. Not anointed. They've got a vendetta. I've been in the ministry as far as you, me and my age, about as long as any of you, if not longer. And I've been in meetings, amen, where my wife has even sensed it. She said, how can anybody get any help from this? Preachers up, using their tongue, using their pulpit time to air their complaint, and straighten this preacher out and this. You know, what would be better is take it outside. If you're man enough, go outside and have a big fight and a ruckus. Yeah. Amen? Because that ain't going to help nobody.
Yeah.
Right. The mischievous tongue.
Right.
Amen. Amen? So us preachers can be guilty of that. The mischievous tongue, as we look at it today, is a boasting tongue. It's a boasting tongue. But yeah, I tell you what, we're so proud and we're so arrogant. I think of myself, here I am 53 years of age, and somebody says something about my cornhole skill, which I don't have much of that, or my basketball skill. I start touting my accolades and my records, amen. But I tell you what, I'm about wore out this week, amen. The spiritual man is sad that camp is about over. The physical man is so glad that camp is about over. I've been sleeping over there all week, probably in the, if you want to say, the nicest place in probably the whole camp. Yeah. But it seems like I've been, Brother Matt, on the bed of nails all week. Usually when I preach, once we've had camp, and I preached, amen, I just go, listen, they woke me up in the recliner last night when they come in. I was trying to read and act spiritual and study and stuff like that. And they woke me up, amen, over there. And then I just got up and went to the restroom and went to bed, amen, hallelujah. So I got up from sleeping and then went back to sleep, amen. Wore out. But I tell you one thing. As I've grown older over the years and my physical skills has diminished, whether I think so or not, Brother Jason, amen, I'm not what I used to be. But I still catch myself, Brother Ford, trying to boast about it. A mischievous tongue is a boasting tongue. The Bible says, Psalm 52, dealing with Doeg and the psalm that David wrote, why boasteth thou thyself in mischief, O mighty man, the goodness of God endureth continually. A boasting tongue. Now let me say something. I try my best, it doesn't matter what I preach on, to try to throw out the gospel lifeline. So the Bible says in Proverbs 27 and verse number 1, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what tomorrow may bring forth. If you're here today and during this week, the Holy Spirit, there's one thing about it, Brother Tim, I don't know what the Holy Spirit's doing in the hearts of men and women and boys and girls this week. And if the Holy Spirit has been pricking you and drawing you unto Himself, then don't think you're going to have another opportunity. Don't think you're going to get to live to be 53. Don't think you're going to get to have a long life. You don't know how long your life will be. Boast not thyself of tomorrow. The mischievous tongue is a boasting tongue. Amen. The Bible says about the tongue, James 3 and verse number 5, that it boasted great things. Pride, amen. We was able to come off the road that week. That week we, Brother O'Rourke, we was in, I think, time I got to the church on Sunday night that I was supposed to preach on Saturday night that I was supposed to preach on Sunday. We was in five churches, amen, 1 week. Now, when I was 20 years old, stuff like that, 30 years old, that didn't affect me as much, amen. But I agreed with my wife. My wife said, don't do that again. Amen. I was plumb sap wore out. So we got to be in on two nights of our vacation Bible school. Well, I still enjoy playing basketball. I used to be decent one time. There I go boasting again, but I used to be at least decent. And listen, friend, and when I was playing with the boys, one of them said, come on, old man. I'm not throwing off, but that, listen, that's not very respect to a Christian brother or even preacher, amen. And I said, I'll show you, amen. I dealt with this once. The next boy, amen, he don't start, but he does play college ball. And he said, come on, let's play. And then I said, I played him. I doubled his point. He said, let's play again. Amen. I said, I've doubled your points. Why would I play you again? Why would I play you again? I'll admit, I was bored plumb out. I mean, we want to boast about what we've done and what we can do and our abilities. And I tell you what, if we're not careful, amen, we'll get caught all up in pride. The boasting tongue, amen. Now, I'll be the first to admit, amen, I do not like to lose. I think if you play a game, why go play a game and you say, well, we're just gonna go play and lose. And let me help some of you, amen. Why play for fun, some of you say. It's funner to win. It's funner when you win.
Sure is.
Amen. But we'll get in the heat of a battle of a volleyball game and a basketball game and a cornhole game, and we'll start boasting about what we do. Well, I'm really taunting this fella right here, amen. God's not pleased with that. God help us, amen, not to use a mischievous tongue. Listen, I don't want to intentionally hurt anybody. I'm not talking about preaching against sin. But even though that's not my ulterior motive, even just to hurt people. The mischievous tongue. The Bible says in James 4 and verse 16, now you rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Now it would do us well to stop a moment and look and see what the word mischief has to do with, the mischievous tongue. The word mischief has to do with intentional injury, harm or damage done by design. So Doeg, whatever is in his crawl for David, or maybe the Bible talks about him being a man that was well off. Maybe he got riches from Saul because he turned David in. I don't know what all that. We don't have all the Bible information, amen. So I'm not going to concoct it. I know it says in Psalm he was a man of wealth. But whatever he had in his crawl toward the man of God, I can take this. He's an Edomite. Down in his heart, he hates the Jews. And he knows David is God's man and he hates him. And he wants to do injury to God's man. Here's what I can surmise, connecting the dots. All the Edomites, through the Word of God, as you study, amen, are doing something to try to hurt the lineage of Christ or trying to kill Christ. David's a direct line to the Lord Jesus. He wants to do anything he can, so he uses his tongue, Brother Danny, and says, I saw what Abathar did, and he helped David. And he reported him to Saul. How do you use your tongue? Let me talk a minute, amen, whether I deal with all these things. I don't worry about that, amen. Listen, you say, how many points do you have your message, amen? One big point, amen. And the rest of them, listen, I don't get to a lot of times. How do you use your tongue? Can I help you? I've not been married a long time.
the Lord helped you stay married 22 years. You use your tongue in a marriage against one another and throw off on your mate and throw off, amen, on your spouse. That ain't going to end up well.
No.
When I first got married, I didn't know any better, amen. I told my wife, this don't taste like my mom's.
Oh.
My wife told me, go home and eat with mom. You know what? She wasn't my mom, amen. But I didn't know any better. I'd never been married before. I didn't know how to be a husband.
Right.
You have to continuously love her, amen.
Right.
But over my, and listen, I am so sorry. I pretty much, I think the first week, but you said, well, you ain't much of a man. I think the first week I had to apologize to my wife, or maybe before we come on this trip, because of my low-down tongue. This is rotten. The Bible says in James, it is set on fire of flame.
Yeah.
God used lips. God used teeth, ivory, if you want to call it that. Bathed your tongue in saliva and it's still full of the devil.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
And you do that in a marriage constantly. Men railing on their wives.
Yeah.
Can I say this? I'm not trying to be mean. I think I'm being pretty docile today. I'm trying to help you on the mischievous tongue.
Right.
Wives, always comparing your husband to other men. Well, that man don't do that. This man don't do that. This man's got character. This man gets up early. You should have waited on those men that you're adoring. But you didn't marry those men. You married Harold.
Yeah.
And Harold's kind of like me. Harold's hair don't grow certain places where it should, and it grows in places where it shouldn't. Out the nose, out the ears, amen. You know, y'all really need to have a lot of patience with us, amen. But I'm saying, don't be using your tongue. A tongue can be, a mischievous tongue can be used to destroy a marriage, a church, a relationship, a friendship, a family, the mischievous tongue. Now, some of you are saying, well, you know, so-and-so, man, it would have been good for him to hear this message. Well, he's not here.
Yes.
But God meant for you to hear this message.
Yes, right. Yes, right.
How are you using your tongue?
Yes.
Oh, I know couples, amen. I've heard of couples. They need an award. They said the man never argued or had a disagreement with their wives. Of course, that man was pretty much a mute. But we've both got personalities.
Sure.
Brother and Sister Harvey have both got personalities. And you know what? If I get hurt or don't get recognized in some way, the first thing I want to try to one-up somebody is with my tongue.
Yeah.
And if I ain't man enough to say it to your face, then I'll go over here to Abraham's. The mischievous tongue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Doeg says, I know where David's at, and I know what Abathar has done. He's given the sword of life, he's given provisions, and he was through here not long ago. Your enemy, Saul, was through here, David. The mischievous tongue.
Are you listening today?
Yes.
Amen.
Yeah.
You listen about 12 more minutes, amen. You'll endure to the end. The mischievous tongue is not only a boasting tongue, the mischievous tongue is a sharp. It's sharp and it works deceit. The Bible says in our text, Psalm 52, verse 2, thy tongue deviseth mischiefs like a sharp razor working deceitfully. A mischievous tongue is sharp and works deceit. The Bible says, Psalm 64, verse 3, who whet their tongue like a sword and bend their bows to shoot their arrows, even bitter words. Bitter words. You get down under a sore trial, or what you feel is a sore trial in your life, if you don't let that circumstance make you better with the Lord's grace and help, then He'll make you bitter. And you know, I believe as preachers sometimes have been guilty of getting under pressure. Maybe we've been hurt in church relationships. Maybe we've been hurt by church fellowship or whatever it's been. And if we're not careful, you know, the Bible talks about the tongue is full of deadly poison. I think I've been guilty in my life of not reacting or overacting or overreacting. There's certain circumstances in my life and trials that have come through my life. And you know what I've done? Use my tongue to spread poison. That'd be pretty bad to have a pulpit that somebody's using their mischievous tongue to be sharp and mischievous and spread poison. It'd be hard to handle that. I say again, I've said this many times before, what's your motive? What's your motive for what you say? Can I stop right here and put in an advertisement? You know, the Bible says that we're supposed to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And when you're filled with the Holy Ghost, you'll speak to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. Amen. And God will put literally a bridle. You know what a bridle is, don't you? At least you've seen one. A bridle, amen, has two pieces of metal. Literally, you fit the bit and bridle, amen, in the horse's mouth, clamps on your tongue, on its tongue. If God would get a hold of our tongues, the Bible said in James, I believe it is, it will control the whole body.
Sure. Yeah. Yes.
Why do you say you get control over my life and over my body and over my flesh? Does God have a bridle on your tongue? Everything that comes through your mind is not of God.
Right.
That's right.
Oh, Brother Rose, I know you're about ready to fly away to heaven. And the reason you've got a halo on your head, it's held up by your horns. You know, there is no angels here, amen. Right. All of us have problem at one time or another with a mischievous tongue.
That's right.
Yes.
Right.
Right. Let me say this, and I still might need a lot of work, I admit it. But we should never, ever cut down our spouses. You married, you become one.
Yes.
We should cut down our spouses in public. I tell you what, God has given me a precious, precious gift from God.
Sure.
She gave me, when He gave me Ms. Sarah Rose. I tell you what, sometimes I'm ashamed of how I take advantage of her. She is a precious, precious gift from God. How long has it been since you used your tongue to uplift your wife? How good she looks at me. And I ain't going to get into all this. Amen. So I'm proud. But how good she smells. Amen. I told her the other day, I said, what's that? She said, it's gorgeous skin. I said, man, I like that. Gorgeous skin. She
she likes Bath and Body Works. That's it.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I probably smell like a Bucky Rutt sometimes. Amen. I tell you one thing. She smells like gorgeous skin. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. It's good. I said, that's good smelling stuff. Amen. My kids sometimes, I mean, I come in there and listen, just get her and everything else, hallelujah, and aggravate her and pinch her and stuff like that. And listen, I want my kids to know that sometimes they turn their head. I'm not talking about anything inappropriate. Amen. I want my kids to know I love their mommy.
Man. Yes, man. Yeah.
Yes. I know the old timers, some of them, they say that's all private stuff. You ain't even supposed to kiss. Amen. Public and stuff like that. But that just ain't how God led me to do it. Amen. Hallelujah. I waited almost 31 years for her. Amen. And when I got married to her, I think I kissed her till her eyes crossed. I never kissed her before. We wasn't doing any hanky-panky. Amen. Brother Harvey was there. Amen. And listen, I put it on her.
Go ahead, bro.
Amen. But you know what?
Be ashamed with me, these old wrinkled lips, amen, to kiss on my wife and use the same wrinkled lips, amen.
Yes, sir.
I need to work on this. I don't want to have a mischievous tongue. You know what the devil's going to do today? He's going to tempt me. He's going to test me, amen, of using my tongue against my spouse.
Yes.
The mischievous tongue is a sharp tongue. It's a tongue that's full of mischief.
The Bible says, what's God hate? A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. The tongue can no man tame, James 3:8. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. The mischievous tongue. Strange message to preach during family camp. Psalm 140 verses 2 and 3. I didn't write this down. Let's look what it says here. Psalm 140 verses 2 and 3. The Bible says, which imagine mischiefs in their heart, continually they are gathered together for war. They have sharpened their tongues like a serpent. Adder's poison is under their lips. Selah! Stop and meditate about that. Amen.
Right.
May God help us, amen, to get full of the Holy Spirit. If you want to see a revival in your church, get some people that are full of the Holy Ghost.
Right.
The only continuing revival there is when people don't just come down and, you know, use a few Kleenexes at the altar, amen. But when they see they're saved by the grace of God and they get surrendered and submitted to God and get filled with the Holy Ghost and walk in the Spirit, that's revival.
Yeah. Yeah,
sure. That's revival. That'll last longer than the meeting, amen.
Amen.
Just an emotional whim. And I'm not throwing off on anybody coming to the altar, but I'm telling you, I see a lack of people that are filled with the Holy Spirit. You say, I don't know if that's right, Brother Rose. Amen. Listen, we can get in this service, have our minds turned to the Scriptures, and before you know it, we're on some stupid, foolish whim right after the service. I mean, I've been to church before and somebody want to show you something on their device. I just told, I'm not throwing off. I said, I don't carry my phone. I'm not that important. Amen. I mean, that's what voicemail's for. I don't have Facebook. I don't have all those things. Amen. So I have nothing to update. Oh, I preached at I-40 camp. I-40. Amen. You out of the country or something? Amen. I-40. Amen. I'm telling you, we need to get our minds off most of that junk.
Yeah.
Get our minds on the Lord.
Amen.
I used to talk about if people would really get right with God and get rid of their television, they'd have the TV DT. I wonder what you would do without your really your phone for 1 week.
Yeah.
You'd have the tremors. Some of you women would have the tremors. I can't stand it.
came to my phone. My Facebook account. Oh.
It's become a god to us.
Yeah.
It's become an idol to us. It really has. We can't do without it. See, deceit, the wicked works of deceit is revealed. I've got to close. In their works, their counsels, their hearts. I don't have time to deal with it, amen. But the mischievous tongue is not only sharp and full of mischief, but the mischievous tongue is evil. It's evil, amen. The Bible says in Psalm 52 and verse number 3, "Thou lovest evil more than good, and lying rather than speaking righteousness, Selah." He said we're supposed to meditate on these things. That's what he said we're supposed to do.
Yes, sir.
So it's evil, amen. It's full of corruption. The Bible says in Genesis 6 and verse number 12, "And God looked upon the earth and beheld, and behold, it was corrupt." That's why he dealt with the Pharisees in Matthew 23 and verse number 28. "They appear righteous unto men, but within are full of hypocrisy and iniquity." Amen. It's evil. And I'm skipping a lot of stuff, but it... The mischievous tongue, amen, is a devouring tongue. In verse number 4. The Bible says in verse number 4, "Thou lovest all devouring words, O thou deceitful tongue." He's talking about Doeg. He's exposing him. He's asking the Lord to judge him. And you know, I struggle with this too. How do you feel when somebody says something about you? It tries to skew your character.
Yeah.
Sure. How about us preachers?
Yeah.
How about when people say stuff about us that is not true?
Yeah.
How about when you're accused of not taking care of your loved ones and you're reported?
Yeah.
How do I react to that? I didn't react. I met one fella and I called him on the phone and I said, "I want to meet with you now."
Yeah.
And I had every intention, if it got heated, amen, I was going to bust his mouth. I'm talking about a fellow preacher. Because I was hot. He said, "I can't meet with you now, amen." And I didn't need to meet with him, and I'm glad he could. I've been accused, you know what? The first thing, heat. Heat. Tongue gets in gear. Mind's out of gear, tongue's in gear. I'm just telling you a little bit and pulling off the veneer.
Yeah.
Mischievous tongue. Somebody said, "Well, that person better not, if my dad passed away, he better not show up at my funeral." Amen. You know the best thing to be to me? He come to the funeral, and I just didn't keep a tongue out of it. Amen?
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey. Amen. How do you react when you get accused falsely? I know all of us react like the Bible says in Matthew. We rejoice and we leap for joy. Yes.
Woo.
"For thus persecuted they the prophets." Amen. We just rejoice. No, we don't even. Usually we run through our accounts. Amen. And we get on the text machines. Amen. "And they said this about me." And listen, I'll use my tongue, amen, to rail on you some. It's a wonder, Brother Jeremy, God does anything anywhere in our Baptist churches.
Yes. You're right. You're right.
It's a wonder God uses any of us preachers.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
Sometimes we're full of mischief. May God help us, amen. Lord, help us. Help us and forgive us, amen. The Bible says, Proverbs 30 and verse number 14, "Whose teeth are as swords and their jaw teeth are as knives." So I'm closing by saying this. Here's the judgment on the mischievous tongue. I want you to keep this in mind. Verse number 5 of our text. "God shall likewise destroy thee forever He shall take thee away and pluck thee out of thy dwelling place and root thee out of the land of the living, Selah. He says we're supposed to meditate on this. That's what he's saying. He said, buddy, that'd be a drudgery, amen. But he said we're supposed to meditate on this stuff. Amen. The judgment on the mischievous tongue. Keep in mind this, and I'll close. Keep in mind, we've said something about it. Somebody's quoted this week. That every idle word that men shall speak, they'll give an account on the day of judgment. See, some people make the judgment seat like a... When I played peanut football back in Virginia, it didn't matter whether you went or not, everybody got a trophy. Everybody got a trophy. But we're not talking about that with the judgment seat. Everybody ain't going to get a trophy. Some people are going to suffer loss. There's going to be people that suffer loss. I tell you what, we need to keep in mind that every idle word we'll give an account of. And we sang it this week, and it was providence. He said there in Psalm 19, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord. Amen?
Yes.
The words of my mouth, the mischievous tongue. Doeg tried his best to do David in. God providentially rescued him and saved him and spared him because he was going to sit on the throne. But Doeg was used of the devil because he had a mischievous tongue. I trust God will help us. Amen. God will help us to be a Christian, the words that we say, the actions that we do. Because it's not, Brother Harvey, I preached on modest apparel, and all that is right and true. But just as right as it is to have a dress that covers your nakedness, I'd hate to have a tongue just as long as my damn dress. Amen?
Right.
Or a tongue, just because I won't wear shorts, but I have a tongue as long as my pant leg.
Right.
Amen?
Yeah.
That I'm using to spread mischief.
Sister, preach my. Is yours?